From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo explained IKN in his U.S. visit to University of Georgetown. Vice President Maruf Amin said, even though the president's son is taking part in the presidential election, the neutrality of the state apparatus is still maintained. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo explained the IKN project on Monday during his visit to the U.S. before the academic community at the University of Georgetown, Washington, D.C. He also received a question from a college student on the government's ambition to develop IKN to tackle sustainability, livability, and economic development. Answering the question, President Joko Widodo explained the concept of IKN, or the Nusantara State Capital. The president said in the live stream uploaded by the Presidential Secretariat YouTube channel on Tuesday evening that Nusantara, the new capital city, has a smart forest city concept, a modern and environmentally friendly city. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has emphasized that rivalries at the global level are natural, but they must be managed effectively to prevent open conflict and maintain regional stability. He made the statement during a public lecture at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., the United States, on Monday local time. As shown in a video uploaded by the Presidential Secretariat on YouTube on Tuesday, he also emphasized that communication, room for dialogue, collaboration, and cooperation are key to achieving regional and global stability and peace. He affirmed that Indonesia is always open to cooperating with any country, emphasizing that Indonesia does not take sides with any power and is committed to peace and humanity. He also stated that listening and taking on the role of the bridge over global problems were key to Indonesia's success in hosting the G20 summit and the Asian summit. Vice President Maruf Amin affirmed that even though President Joko Widodo's eldest son Gibran Raka Buming Raka is participating in the 2024 presidential election, the neutrality of the state civil servant and the officers of the Indonesian military and police must be maintained. This was conveyed by the Vice President after leading the awarding ceremony of the Yuda Dharma Utama Star Award to Indonesian military commander Admiral Yudo Margono at the Vice President's Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. He also believed in the Indonesian military's commitment to neutrality in the 2024 simultaneous election.
Semua petugas, aparat, ASN, TNI, Polri, semuanya.
To all officers, ASN, TNI, and Polri, all of them have roles to be neutral, and that has also been conveyed by the president. Therefore, we are asking that in the field, our officers, our implementers, both from the TNI, Polri, and ASN, must maintain neutrality. I think it's just shared commitment.
TNI, Polri, maupun dari ASN, itu harus menjaga netralitas. Saya kira itu komitmen bersama.
Meanwhile, quoted from Antara, the candidate for Indonesian military commander Agus Subianto, who was present to accompany the vice president, said that the Indonesian military institution has legal guidelines regarding the Indonesian military, which regulate the prohibitions of Indonesian military members for engaging in practical politics. He also emphasized that violation of this could result in disciplinary penalties from the unit or criminal penalties. Indonesian Air Force and Republic of Singapore Air Force RSAF conducted joint training in Pekanbaru regarding war tactics, currently entering the final phase of mission-oriented training, or MOT, or 4th Joint Fighter Weapon Course, JFWC. Head of the Rusmin Nuryadin Air Base, Lieutenant Colonel Bambang Aprianto, who is currently the training director, stated on Tuesday that the 4th JFWC MOT phase was held on November 13 to 16 at the Pekanbaru Joint Training Area with the involvement of more than 15 aircraft. According to Aprianto, during the MOT phase, the JFWC candidates will act as mission commander or MC to execute joint air operation orders given by the upper command. He further said that in receiving this order, candidates were required to plan air operation tactics based on their task. Existing targets and threats should also be eliminated effectively and efficiently. Let's move it on to the international news, where almost 200 Rohingya refugees, most of them women and children, arrived by boat in Indonesia's Aceh province on Tuesday. The chief of local fishing community said hundreds of Rohingyas were stranded at Kemukiman Kale Beach in PD Regency Aceh. For years, many members of the ethnic Rohingya Muslims, a persecuted minority in Myanmar, have boarded rickety wooden boats to escape to Muslim-majority Bangladesh, Malaysia, and Indonesia, as well as Thailand. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, or UNHCR, has said several hundred Rohingyas arrived in Aceh earlier this year, and massive numbers have died at sea from disease, hunger, and fatigue. Last year was one of the deadliest in a decade for such refugees. Indonesia booked a $3.48 billion trade surplus last month, bigger than predicted, as export and imports fell less than expected. Data from the Statistics Bureau showed on Wednesday, shipments from Southeast Asia's largest economy have been declining by value in recent months amid falling global commodity prices. However, the resource-rich country has continued to post a trade surplus monthly, as imports have also weakened. Economists polled by Reuters had expected a trade surplus of $3 billion in October. Indonesia's biggest export products are coal, palm oil, and nickel metals. The King Salman Humanitarian Aid and Relief Center contributed $15 million to the first phase of a UN aid plan for Gaza, the Saudi press agency reported on Tuesday. The humanitarian response plan, launched by the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine's refugees in the Near East, will deliver food, shelter, non-food items, medication, water, and sanitation supplies to the besieged enclave. This will be implemented through the partnerships between the two organizations aimed at easing the critical situation in Gaza. The Saudi contribution through KS Relief comes as part of the kingdom's commitment to standing with the Palestinian people. The donation scheme was launched earlier this month under the direction of King Salman and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's commentary is about discussion on purchasing Freeport Indonesia additional shares expected to finish this month. On Monday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited the United States, and during the visit, he met U.S. President Joe Biden as the main agenda. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a written statement, conveyed that the two leaders' meeting resulted in 6 points of agreement to strengthen bilateral relations, particularly in the economic sector. On the same day, President Joko Widodo met the chairman of Freeport McMoRan, Richard Atkerson, at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Washington, D.C. During the meeting, it was revealed that plans to increase Freeport Indonesia's 10% shares in Indonesia and extend its mining permit in central Papua had reached the final stage of discussion. President Joko Widodo also hopes that the discussion can be completed by the end of this month. In 2018, the Indonesian government granted a special mining business permit for 20 years to PT Freeport Indonesia until 2041. The government also provided conditions for Freeport McMoRan to extend the contract after 2041 by selling its 10% shares to Indonesia and building a smelter in Papua. With the plan, the government will have 61% shares at PT Freeport Indonesia because Indonesia has already 51% of the shares. The rest is controlled by Freeport McMoRan. Freeport McMoRan has been operating in Indonesia since 1967, and Freeport mining area in Papua is one of the largest mining areas in the world. They mined not only copper, but also gold and silver. For decades, Freeport had been selling raw mining materials at huge profits, but Indonesia obtained only 5% of them. Today, with 51% shares, Indonesia gets bigger profits. Meanwhile, the Papua regional government has a 10% tax rate. With the downstream policy currently in force, Indonesia will gain greater profits in addition to opening up more job opportunities. Therefore, building a smelter or facilities for processing mines is an obligation for foreign mining companies that want to invest in Indonesia. Hopefully, Freeport can immediately realize its commitment to support the downstream policy. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on November 15, 1945 about the birth of the Indonesian Marine Corps. On November 15, 1945, the Indonesian Navy Marine Corps was established at Military Base for ALRI, or Navy of the Republic of Indonesia, in Tegal, Central Java. Previously, the Marine Corps was part of the Army. In 1948, the Navy Command Corps and the Army Command Corps were formed, or KKOAL and KKOAD. However, in 1975, the name of the Navy Command Corps was returned to the Marine Corps in accordance with the history of the birth of the Corps since 1945. Moving on to November 15, 1946, about Linggarjati Agreement. Linggarjati Agreement were treaty between Indonesia and the Netherlands in Linggarjati, West Java, which resulted in an agreement regarding the status of Indonesia's independence. In this treaty, Indonesia was represented by Sultan Syahrir, while the Netherlands was represented by a team called the Commission General, led by Wim Schermerhorn with members H.J. van Mook, with Lord Killearn from England acting as a mediator in the negotiation. The results of these negotiations were signed by the two countries on March 25, 1947. These negotiations resulted in 17 articles, which among other things contained the Netherlands de facto recognized the territory of the Republic of Indonesia, namely Java, Sumatra, and Madura. The Dutch had to leave the territory of the Republic of Indonesia before January 1, 1949. We end today in history with November 15, 1971, when Intel Corporation officially launched its first single-chip microprocessor. Intel Corporation is a company specialized in providing semiconductor chips, with its main products namely personal devices and computers, processors, motherboards, chipsets, server components, Ethernet, wireless products, consumer electronics, solid-state drives, and other related products. Intel officially launched the world's first single-chip microprocessor, namely the Intel 4004. Before that, other CPU designs were still a combination of several chips. Intel 4004 was also the first computer processor designed and produced by Intel. The person who designed the chip was Ted Hoff and Federico Fagen of Intel and Masatoshi Shima of Busicom. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Tidurlah di alas tidurku, ku basuh tangan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Minister of Education and Culture appreciates establishment of Western Sydney University campus in Surabaya. Indonesian Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Nadiem Anwar Makarim, appreciated the commitment and active participation of Western Sydney University, which has established a campus in Surabaya, East Java, on Thursday, November the 9th. In a written statement from the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology on Friday at the launch of the Western Sydney University campus, Minister Nadiem Makarim said that the establishment of the Western Sydney University campus in Surabaya was an important milestone for Indonesia and Australia in increasing access to quality education, including increasing academic mobility, collaboration, and research. He hopes that this collaboration can further develop the potential of Indonesian students to become national leaders in the future. Nadiem Makarim explained that Indonesia has transformed higher education through the Freedom to Learn movement. Through this movement, Indonesia provides opportunities for students to carry out learning activities outside campus, such as internship at companies carrying out research projects, teaching at schools in outer regions, as well as student exchanges both within the country and abroad. Nadiem Makarim appreciated Australia for supporting the Freedom to Learn program. He explained, since 2022, universities in Australia have participated in the Indonesian International Student Mobility Awards Student Exchange Program, which is specifically designed for vocational education. According to him, through this program, the Ministry of Education and Culture provides students with the opportunity to build cross-cultural knowledge and experience that is beneficial for their future. Responding to Nadiem Makarim's remarks, the Australian Minister of Education, Jason Clare, said that the Indonesian and Australian people had known each other for a long time. Regarding the establishment of Western Sydney University, Minister Clare said that leaders of the two countries had met in July 2023 and discussed quality education in the future. According to him, education, apart from changing individuals, can also change a nation. Meanwhile, Western Sydney University Vice Chancellor and President Barney Glover was pleased to be able to introduce leading educational standards and innovative learning methods on the university campus in Surabaya. He hopes that their presence can contribute to the development of the Indonesian economy through education and practical skills for students. He said this campus was a manifestation of his commitment to fostering global citizenship and creating opportunities for cross-cultural learning. The governor of East Java, Hovifah Indar Parawansa, who was also present on the occasion, hopes that the presence of Western Sydney University can contribute to achieving the potential of Indonesia's future generation, especially in Surabaya, thereby improving the quality and standards of the Indonesian workforce. The Western Sydney University campus in Surabaya will open in September 2024. That was My Indonesia Today.
Sedang sendiri, ku coba renungi, ingin apa aku ini? Tak pernah mengerti sampai kini ku sadari, aku tetap tak peduli, hanya aku jalani hidup ini. Mau apa
dipahami. Semua orang pasti ingin dapat raih bahagia. Kalau hanya itu aku pun telah mengerti.
Kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti, aku hanya bisa bermimpi. Ku hanya ingin hidup bahagia, oh. Aku hanya bisa bernyanyi. Aku tak tahu apa yang ku cari di muka bumi.
Layang-layang dapat terbang tinggi, namun sesekali goyah dan ia jatuh lagi. Apa mungkin kutemui kunci di hati yang kan ungkapkan segalanya suatu saat nanti.
Kadang-kadang ingin pergi,
of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to hunt for the sunrise on Trunyan Hill in Bali, especially for beginner climbers. Here you will feel like you are standing on the clouds. Trunyan Hill is located in Trunyan Village, Kintamani District, Bangli Regency. This hill is located on the eastern edge of Lake Batur. Trunyan is known for its unique funeral tradition, where the bodies of died people are not buried or cremated, but only placed under Taru Menyan tree. Apart from the unique cultural and traditional aspects, Trunyan Hill offers a stunning natural landscape that is worth exploring. With a height of 1,834 meters above sea level, this hill is suitable for those of you who love climbing. From the top of Trunyan Hill, you can enjoy epic views that are ready to spoil your eyes. To climb Trunyan Hill, you will be charged 10,000 rupiah or less than $1 with free parking fees. Not just sitting quietly while enjoying the view, on Trunyan Hill you can also do several interesting activities. Camping, enjoying the sunrise, taking photos, and of course cooking food while sensing the cool air on this hill are activities that you can do. However, Before you climb Tronyan Hill, please be advised to ask local residents about the things you shouldn't do on the hill. That was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Mendekatlah kau padaku tanpa bimbang, berilah senyummu yang telah lama hilang. Mendekatlah kau padaku tanpa bimbang, berilah senyummu yang hilang.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto, which means traveling in Sawah Lunto. So stay tuned. We are going to present to you a conversation entitled Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara. Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara, which means the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia and a tourist guide in Ombilin Charcoal Mining Site. The tourist guide informs about Ombilin Charcoal Mining, which is the oldest mining city in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the conversation.
Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times, and you can repeat after me. Tambang batubara Ombilin. Tambang batubara Ombilin, which means Ombilin charcoal mining. Merupakan. Merupakan, which means is. Situs. Situs, which means site. Kota pertambangan. Kota pertambangan, which means mining city. Paling tua, which means the oldest. Di Asia Tenggara, di Asia Tenggara, which means in Southeast Asia. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. Tahun 1888. Tahun 1888, which means in 1888. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Tambang Batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. In the sentence, there is an expression, paling tua, which means the oldest. It is used to state a comparison between two things or objects. The word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, is followed by the adjective tua, tua, which means old, to state that Ombilin Charcoal Mining City is the oldest one compared to the other mining city sites in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the other examples to use the word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, to state comparison between two things or objects. Paling besar, which means the biggest. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera, which means Lake Toba is the biggest lake in Sumatera. Paling luas, which means the largest. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera, which means Kerinci Seblat National Park is the largest national park in Sumatra. Batubara, which means charcoal, consists of two words, namely batu, which means stone, and bara, which means coal. Based on the physical character, the word batubara means a burning stone because it can be fueled after going through combustion. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Jangan dengarkan orang bicara. Jangan ikuti orang mengarah. Mereka cuma sirik sama kita. Percuma omongan orang dipercaya.
Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song from West Nusa Tenggara entitled Gugur Mayang. The song tells about disaster due to betrayal. The lyrics remind us that good can be rewarded with evil. Therefore, future generations must continue to maintain their cultural identity and remain vigilant about betrayal. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song Gugur Mayang by LL Muji. Happy listening.
Oh, Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, yeah.